When the Buddha gives instructions on breath meditation, he gives 16 steps divided into four sets of four. Each set is called a tetrad. The first tetrad deals with the body, the second with feelings, the third with the mind, and the fourth with dhammas, or mental events, mental qualities. Now, some people think that you do all the steps in that order. First you deal with the body, then with the feelings, then with the mind, then with mental qualities. But your awareness of the breath is not like that. They're all here together. When you're focused on the body right now, you can't help but notice the feelings that come with the different ways you breathe. And what's watching over this? It's your mind. And the mind brings mental qualities to that. So instead of seeing these tetrads laid out in a line, it's better to see them as parallel tracks. And the different steps in each tetrad are there for times when that particular tetrad or the topic of that particular tetrad is the problem. Sometimes the body is the problem. There's an ache here, there's a pain there. The breath is harsh. Sometimes the feelings, again, with aches and pains. Sometimes the problem is with the mind. It just doesn't want to settle down. It's carrying issues in from the day or from the past. It's tired or it's wired. You've got to do something about it. So think of these four tetrads as kind of a checklist. Tetrad for the body. Are you sensitive to the length of the breath? Are you aware of the whole body as you're breathing in, breathing out? Can you calm the breath with feelings? Can you give rise to feelings of rapture and pleasure? That may have to do with the way you breathe. Or you can think back. Give rise to some mental pleasure. Think back to some good things you've done in terms of being generous, in terms of being virtuous. Then you want to be sensitive to how these feelings have an impact on your mind, together with the perceptions that go along with them. And then you want to calm that impact. That's the second tetrad. The third tetrad, dealing with the mind. You're sitting here. The Buddha says, first, be sensitive to the mind. In other words, what is your mind like right now? Is it settling down? Is it content to be here? Does it want to be here? How is the committee of the mind right now? Is everybody on board? Or are there some people plotting to leave? The Forest of Johns say this is an important part of settling into the meditation, surveying your mind. Their question is it leading forward, leading back, to the left, or to the right? In other words, is it leaning toward the future, thoughts of the future? Is it leaning towards thoughts of the past? Is it leading towards things you like or things you don't like? However you sense your mind is right now, what do you have to do to compensate? The Buddha gives you three things to think about. One is if your energy is down, or your motivation is not all that strong right now. He says to gladden the mind. Because the mind and the feelings and the breath are all here together, one way of gladdening the mind, of course, would be to breathe in a way that feels really gratifying. What kind of hunger does your body have for the breath right now? Can you satisfy that? Would that be satisfactory to the mind? Because sometimes if the mind is feeling weak or frazzled, just breathing really fully and comfortably makes you happy to be here. Other times the mind seems to not want to deal with the breath at all. It's been looking at the breath all day long. Can I have something else? Well, yes, there are other things you can focus on, like your own generosity. You've given a gift today, done something, gone out of your way. Think about that. develop a sense of self-esteem around that. The same with virtue, where there are things you could have done either today or sometime in the past that would have been less than honorable, but you decided no. Even though you may have benefited from them in one way or another, you tell yourself, I'm above that. In the sense of being above that kind of thing, and lift the mind, lift your heart. Because when you're dealing with the mind, it's not just the side that we think of when we say mind. It's also the side of the heart. Remember that the Pali word citta means both heart and mind. So what would gladden your heart? You could think about the Buddha. The fact that there was such a person in this world who really put his life on the line. To find a way to put an end to suffering, not only his own suffering, but also anyone else who wanted to follow his path, he'd be happy to teach them. He taught them for free. No suggested donations. No teachings just to appeal to people. A lot of the truth that he taught was pretty harsh, but it had that one big positive focus, which is that it is possible to put an end to suffering. And that it is possible through your efforts to find something that is beyond efforts. In other words, you use conditions, you use fabrications to get to something unconditioned, something unfabricated, that's not subject to the ups and downs of space or time. We live in a world where there has been such a person. You can think about his dharma, as many of his listeners said when they listened to it, it was as if he'd taken a light into the darkness so people could see things that were blurry before. Taking something that had been turned upside down, turned it right side up again. He taught about the power of human action, that you can, through your efforts, make a difference in your life. So many of the teachings at the time, like many teachings now, that everything is predetermined by physical laws, and you're just along for the ride. You have no choice in what direction this ride is going to go. He said no, in no uncertain terms. You are shaping your present moment, and in shaping the present moment, you're shaping your future. It gives you power. It demands a lot out of you. It gives you responsibility. But it endows you with that power. That kind of thing, it can lift your heart. So that's one of the areas where the Buddha says, if mind is out of balance, gladden it. Another is to steady it or concentrate it. Get a clear image of the breath. Hold that image in mind. And just stay with it as best you can. Any other thoughts that come up right now, you can let them go, let them go. You don't have to be responsible for them. You can be confident that whatever thoughts that would pull you away from the breath right now are pulling you down. So you don't have to inspect every one. This streamlines the process quite a bit. Otherwise, you're sitting here thinking, well, I could stay with the breath, but there might be something better coming along, so I'll just check out everybody who comes along. You're never going to get any concentration that way. You have to be confident that this is the path. It's like that cartoon of the penguins. One penguin is playing the piano. The other has a little straw hat and a cane. And the one playing the piano says, no, take it again from the top. This is our only ticket out of here. The breath right now is your only ticket out of here. Look at the world around you. People plotting war, people plotting killing and destruction, people plotting murder. There are all kinds of horrible people in charge right now. Wouldn't it be better to get out of this? And in getting out, you're not being irresponsible. You're showing other people that it is possible, that you don't have to suffer from these things. So have some focus. Don't have any regrets, don't have any nostalgia for the things you're leaving behind. If they're really good, they'll go with you. Think in those terms. Have a part of the mind that's decisive. That this is what you want. And it may take some thinking first to get that decisive. But whatever is needed to get the mind more focused that way and more confident in its focus, think in those ways and then settle down. If any other thoughts come up, tell yourself, okay, I've already settled this issue. I don't need to look into it. Our problem is we think of every thought coming our way as a little box, potentially a present. Just remind yourself, no present could be better than total freedom. So keep focused in this direction. Finally, the last recommendation is to release the mind. Anything that's weighing it down. Tell yourself, I've got to think my way around this. Whatever's weighing the mind down has some allure. So how are you going to see the allure so you can get past it? First, you have to see, how does this thing arise? What's its origination? When the Buddha says origination, he's talking about cause. It's not about the simple fact that things arise. When it arises, why is it arising? And the cause is in the mind itself. When greed, aversion, and delusion arise, you can't blame things outside. They may be the focal point, but the real cause is inside. What makes you want to go for these things? Notice also that these mind states pass away. They're not a constant tone. They come for a bit, then they stop, then they come again, and they stop, come again, and they stop. When they come again, why do you pick them up again? That's where you're going to see the allure. Then you can compare with the drawbacks. The typical list of the drawbacks, of course, is whatever it is. It's going to be inconstant. It's not reliable. It's going to be stressful. It's not really worth claiming as you or yours. But whatever thinking, whatever way of analyzing the drawbacks of that particular thought, that particular mental burden, that particular burden on your heart, use your ingenuity. When you can see that the drawbacks outweigh the allure, that's when you develop dispassion, and the dispassion is the escape. That's the release. So these are ways of getting the mind ready to settle down. First, you survey it. Remember, we're talking about the heart as well. You survey your heart, you survey your mind. Try to gladden them if their energy level is down or if their motivation is down. You steady them. If you have a habit of wanting to check everything out before you settle down, tell yourself, you know the world. You know what the world has to offer. You don't know what the breath has to offer. You don't know how far that's going to take you, how far your concentration will take you. Here's your chance. Focus on it. Remember that a well-focused mind, a steady mind, has to have a good broad foundation. So it's not a one-pointed focus, in the sense of one point in space or one point in your body. You're settled in the whole body. That's your foundation. When a foundation has a big basis like this, then it's not likely to tip over. And finally, anything that's weighing the mind down, trapping the mind, learn how to release it through looking at its origination, its passing away, its allure, the drawbacks, so you gain some escape. Remember the Buddha's image of the fire. Fire burns because it's clinging to its fuel. In clinging to its fuel, it's also trapped. But what's trapping it? It's not the fuel that's trapping it. The fire is trapping itself by clinging. The things that you hold on to tight, the things that weigh you down, they're not trapping you. You're the one who's trapping yourself by holding on to them. So when you understand why you hold on and to see that it's really not worth it, then the mind can be released. This is how you take care of the mind, how you take care of the heart. as you try to get everything to settle down and be clear inside. Sometimes the mind is ready and you don't have to deal with these things directly. Other times it's not ready, and these are some of the techniques the Buddha offers for getting everything in place.